Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. How are you today? I hope you are fine. With me, Rivai, and I'll accompany you with 60 minutes ahead for today's edition. And we would like to present some programs started with news, commentary, and other soft information as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop song. Listener, we begin our program with news. Stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
At RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Supporting President Joko Widodo's program to develop North Sulawesi tourism, PT PLN is ready for investment. Vice President Yusuf Kala said, tax imposition of digital companies is still a world problem. Now the news in details. State electricity company PT PLN is ready to invest in electricity to support President Joko Widodo's program in developing the tourism sector in North Sulawesi province. Business director of the Sulawesi Regional PLN, Shamsul Huda, said on Thursday that his side is ready to build electricity in North Sulawesi to support development and economic growth in the province, especially in the tourism sector. He also explained that the electricity consumption per capita in North Sulawesi has increased because the tourism and industrial businesses are booming in Manado and its surroundings. In addition, the North Sulawesi provincial government's plan to make the province a trade center in Indonesia will require large-scale electricity support. Vice President Yusuf Kala acknowledged that the world is still difficult to find ways in a bid to impose tax to digital companies. Those ministers of finance, Sri Mulyani, and G20 member countries are also still looking for ways to impose tax to the digital companies. In a discussion held by the Indonesian Journalists Association in Jakarta on Thursday, Vice President Yusuf Kala emphasized that the tax imposition to the digital companies is still a world problem, because digital industries in the world dominated by four main companies, Google, Microsoft, Facebook, and Amazon, say that the world is accessing information from them for free. But according to President Yusuf Kala, Google also benefits from advertising in Indonesia, so the global company has to pay taxes. Vice President Yusuf Kala encouraged industries in Indonesia to be more efficient and useful in adjusting to information technology nowadays. He emphasized that industries in Indonesia are actually able to compete with industries from abroad. When becoming a keynote speaker at the Smart Business Talk Making Indonesia 4.0 versus Super Smart Society 5.0 event in Jakarta on Thursday, Vice President Yusuf Kala affirmed that in the current era of Industrial Revolution 4.0, Indonesian industry must change if they want to remain competitive. Although he acknowledged there is a dilemma between supporting the fulfillment of people's cheap needs and changing materials to keep protecting the industry. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian Ministry of Communication and Informatics invited 14 journalists from a number of countries in the South-Pacific region and Africa to let know democracy and politics in Indonesia. They gained insight into democracy in Indonesia during the diplomatic forum on the success of Indonesia in organizing peaceful and democratic simultaneous election, which took place in Yogyakarta on Thursday. Director of Information, Communication and Politics, Law and Security at the Director General of Information and Public Communication at the Ministry of Communication and Informatics, Bambang Gunawan, said that so far, many foreign journalists have not received direct information about Indonesian democracy and politics. He was worried that the information obtained indirectly led to a false perception of Indonesia. Cooperatives in various regions of Indonesia will be able to adjust with Industrial Era 4.0, which can make cooperative transform by building creative and innovative characters according to changing times. This was stated by Secretary of the Ministry of Cooperative and Small and Medium Enterprises, Ruli Indrawan, in a national seminar entitled Indonesian Cooperative in the Industrial Era 4.0 in Purwokerto, Central Java on Thursday. He also pointed out that in the Industrial Era 4.0, there is a rapid and erratic change in the lifestyle of the millennial generation due to the development of information, technology, robotics, artificial intelligence, and rapid communication. However, he believes the era of Industry 4.0 is able to make Indonesian cooperative increasingly develop and advance. Three international companies, Repsol, Premier Oil, and Mubadala Petroleum, will invest in upstream oil and gas fields off the coast of Biren, PD Jaya, and PD Aceh Province. Representative of the Sumbagut Region Oil and Gas Special Task Force, SKK Migas, Yanin Holison, said that the three international companies will invest precisely in the Andaman 1, 2, and 3 working areas in the Malacca Strait waters. Public Relations of the Aceh Oil and Gas Management Agency, Ahia Rashidi, on the occasion said that the presence of three international companies would open up new jobs and this would also support the regional government programs to reduce unemployment. The Association of Indonesian Travel Companies, ASITA, hopes that Chinese tourists visiting Solo can get access to local cultural tourism. Deputy Chairperson of Central Java, ASITA Daryono in Solo, hoped on Thursday that the tourists could visit cultural centers such as Pura Mangkunegaran, Surakarta Palace, Keris Museum, and Three Windu Market. In addition, his site also requires the tourists to take a ride on the Jaladara steam train, which has been one of the icons of Solo City. 170 Chinese tourists visited Solo, utilizing China Solo direct flights. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuku Kusumawati.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's commentary is on international coalition to keep above El Mandeb. Tensions between the United States and Iran have not subsided after imposing sanctions, which also led to Iran's supreme leader. The United States is planning to mobilize other countries' support to put the military in waters near Iran. Chairman of the United States Joint Chief of Staff, General Joseph Dunford, stated Washington took the initiative to mobilize an international military coalition in the Strait of Hormuz and Bab el-Mandeb waters. These two areas are very important for ship traffic, especially tankers transporting oil. The initiative of the United States military to place an international coalition there is said to guarantee security and freedom of shipping. The idea of forming an international coalition came after a statement from Tehran that threatened to close the waters of Bab el-Mandeb. The threat was raised in reaction to U.S. sanctions that prohibit the trading and shipping of Iranian oil. If the Iranian blockade is carried out, the trade traffic of around 4 million barrels of oil throughout the world through Bab el-Mandeb will be disrupted. The United States' invitation to secure the Strait of Hormuz and Bab el-Mandeb to this day, Friday, July the 12th, has not received any response. However, Iran's threat to block Bab el-Mandeb can generate a broad and different reactions, especially in countries with an interest in oil trading. Although not related to the Bab el-Mandeb closing threat or the initiative to mobilize an international military coalition, on Monday, July the 8th, China's Foreign Ministry spokesman Kang Shuang said the unilateral intimidation by the United States had caused a violation of Iran's nuclear agreement. The statement from the Chinese Foreign Ministry spokesman seemed to imply that Beijing's attitude towards Tehran was still soft. The same attitude is also shown by France. Emmanuel Bon, advisor to the French president, at a meeting with Secretary of the Iranian National High Security Council, Ali Shamkhani, in Tehran on Wednesday, July the 10th, implies France's attitude towards Iran. As the Iranian news agency IRNA reported, Emmanuel Bon stated that Paris wanted dialogue and cooperation with Tehran to manage the crisis in Syria, Yemen, Iraq, and Lebanon. Seeing China and France's attitudes, the United States might need to work hard to realize the idea of forming an international military coalition to protect the Strait of Hormuz and Bab el-Mandeb. Well, that was commentary today on international coalition to keep Bab el-Mandeb. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia, Jakarta, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Our regular program today in history starts from an event on July 12, 1947, on Determination of National Cooperative Day. Cooperative is an economic agency which is appropriate in Indonesia because of the nature of Indonesian society who love mutual cooperation. Cooperative was introduced for the first time by Patih in Purwokerto, Central Java, Raden Arya Wiraatmaja, who established a bank for the state's employees in 1896. He established credit cooperative by aiming to assist people who were trapped in debt with moneylenders. After the independence of Indonesia on July 12, 1947, cooperative movement in Indonesia held the first cooperative congress in Tasikmalaya, West Java, which was initiated by Muhammad Hatta. The congress determined July 12 as Cooperative Day and formed Central People's Cooperative Organization, which was located in Tasikmalaya. The next event is that in 1975, National Monument was officially opened for public. National Monument, or well known as Monas, was opened for public for the first time on July 12, 1975. The construction of a 132-meter monument was officially begun on August 17, 1961, but actually, the plan of the construction had appeared since 1950. At the time, the central government of Indonesia returned to Jakarta. First, President Sukarno planned the construction of the monument, which is equal with oval, exactly in front of the State Palace. The monument with museum inside is open every day. The last event is that in 1990, it was the beginning of Soviet Union destruction. On July 12, 1990, Boris Yeltsin resigned from Soviet Union Communist Party. His resignation was catastrophic for Soviet Union. After his resignation, the destruction of the super powerful country began. The beginning of Yeltsin's resignation from Communist Party was re-election Mikhail Gorbachev as leader of the party. Incidentally, he was directly to lead Soviet Union. The rise of Gorbachev was opposed by not only Yeltsin, but also sympathizer of Communist Party. Yeltsin wanted totally democracy and chance communist system in Soviet to multi-party system. Meanwhile, hardline sympathizer rejected Gorbachev due to bad political and economic policies. Seeing the barrage of attack, Gorbachev finally chose to resign from his position. Shortly after the announcement of his resignation, the Soviet Union was officially dissolved. Post-Soviet collapse, Boris Yeltsin was re-elected as Russia's first president and came to power from 10 July 1991 to 31st December 1999. That was today in history.
Voice of Indonesia.
Wanita tercantikku yang pernah ku temukan. Tuhan, wajah-Mu mengalihkan duniaku. Memberi tanda cinta, engkau wanita tercantikku yang pernah ku temukan. Wajahmu mengalihkan duniaku. Hidupku penuh warna, ku selalu mendekatimu. Memberi tanda cinta.
Voice of Indonesia.
Well, listener, that was Sang, and you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.boinews.id. In Indonesia Today's edition, I'd like to give you information about Indonesia and of course in my Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, here's today's My Indonesia entitled Increasing Indonesian Wildlife Researchers and Conservationists in Global Level. Indonesian Environment and Forestry Ministry and IPB University held workshop for Indonesian wildlife researchers and conservationists at IPB International Convention Center in Bogor, West Java on Monday. Besides increasing the capacity of wildlife researchers in Indonesia, the activity also aims to increase the network and to optimize the country's ability in international conservation diplomacy sector. Director General of Natural Resources and Ecosystem Conservation Wiratno said that currently only 75 Indonesian researchers, professionals, and wildlife activists join in various specialist group in Species Survival Commission formed by International Union of Conservation of Nature, or IUCN. The number is actually only a few, considering there are many specialist groups without Indonesian members. Therefore, the workshop is directed to optimize the ability of Indonesia in international conservation. Wiratno further said that as one of the mega biodiversity countries, Indonesia had been a limelight amongst wildlife researchers and had produced hundreds of discoveries. Many wildlife researchers in Indonesia had joined in various professional associations which housed researchers and conservationists of similar expertise, such as Indonesian Ornithologists Union, Indonesian Herpetology Association, Indonesian Entomologist Association, Indonesian Biology Association, Indonesian Orang Utan Forum, Harimau Kita Forum, and the professional ones such as Indonesian Veterinarian Association. He added that Species Survival Commission formed by IUCN grew into science-based global network of thousands of volunteers on biodiversity. Species Survival Commission carries out species status assessment, develops Species Conservation Action Plan and Strategy, prepares technical guidance, and formulates IUCN policy. So in general, Species Survival Commission promotes technical knowledge, recommendation, and policy guidance, which can affect conservation acts across the globe. Meanwhile, the Dean of IPB University's Forestry Faculty, Rinexo Sukmadi, said that in this year's Wildlife Researchers and Conservationist Workshop can tighten the networks of researchers with policymakers. It also increases synergy with related parties in solving various conservation issues. Similarly, we are the hopes that the meeting can improve the role of Indonesian researchers in various international conservation bodies, mainly IUCN, through participation in specialist groups or proposing new specialist group or red list authority special for the needs in Indonesia. And listener, that's my Indonesia today. Stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia. Voice of Indonesia.
Well, boy listener, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz, at website www.voinews.id. Well, listener, then we would like to present next segment, Indonesian Wonder, about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listener, it's nice to see you again in Indonesian Wonder with me, Ahmad Faisal. For today's edition, I present you Malalayang Beach in North Sulawesi. Listeners, several times ago, President Joko Widodo made a working visit to North Sulawesi for 2 days. During his visit, President Jokowi stated that North Sulawesi tourism is growing. In the past 4 years, tourist visit to the North Sulawesi rose 600%. Beautiful nature and various tourism destinations choices become one of reasons why many tourists visit there. Traveling to North Sulawesi, there are various interesting tourist destinations that you can visit. Listeners, one of the beautiful beaches near Manado is Malalayang Beach. This beach is only about 1 kilometer from Manado City, or about 10 minutes by using land transportation. When you arrive at Malalayang Beach, you will see the row of shops and stalls that are the most dominant thing seen at the beach. Malalayang Beach has calm waves adorned with large black rocks along the shoreline. Due to the waves are calm, it is safe for those who want to swim in the area. The beauty of the underwater coast of Malalayang is also irresistible. You can also enjoy diving at this beach. Listeners, for visitors who like diving hobby, there are also diving equipment rental offered at the beach. The dive spot is not too far, and you will be able to enjoy a variety of various marine biodiversity. Being relaxed at the Malalayang Beach, you can enjoy the scenery, namely Manado Tua Island, that is high like mountain from this beach. Likewise with Bunaken Island, which has been known globally. Besides, buildings in the Manado are located in the seafront that can also be seen from Malalayang Beach. Along this beach, there are many stalls along the coast. However, the most ordered snack is fried banana with its special roasted sauce. Listeners, that's the edition of Indonesian Wonder with the topic Malalayang Beach. Tomorrow, we will meet you again with another interesting topic. See you later.
Berapa lama aku menunggu jawaban darimu? Sampaikah kepadamu kata-kata yang kurangkaikan agar kau tahu perasaanku yang telah lama terpendam. Inilah yang ku rasakan.
Jangan hanya bicara, ku tak perlu kata. yang kau inginkan, apapun itu kan ku berikan untukmu. Andai kau bersamaku di tempat dan waktu yang sama, kau akan tahu perasaanku yang telah lama terpendam. Inilah yang ku rasakan. Jangan hanya bicara, ku tak perlu kata-kata untuk mengerti yang kau rasakan. Karena ku hanya butuh separuh hatimu di dalam hidupku untuk buatku bahagia. Semenjak kau ada di sini, ku mengerti betapa ku membutuhkanmu. Bila kataku tak cukup untuk buatmu mengerti, izinkan ku bertemu lagi denganmu. Jangan hanya bicara, ku tak perlu kata-kata untuk mengerti yang kau rasakan. Karena ku hanya butuh separuh hati buatku bahagia.
Thank you very much, Voice listener. We have listened a wonderful song, and you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voanews.id. A listener would like to give you another information about interesting tourism that happened in Indonesia.
Hello listeners, Voice of Indonesia, it's nice to meet you again in Miscellany. Today, I will inform you about Nusantara Literature in Livons, the work of Italian fashion school students. Stay tuned. Traditional Indonesian fabrics are the material for 46 culture students in Italy. 46 clothes created by Accademia students at Alta Moda KOEFIA combine a variety of Indonesian wastra such as batik and woven fabrics. These works are displayed at the closing events of Rome Fashion Week, Alta Roma Rome Fashion Week on Sunday night. Quarter performances held at the Fratibus District Roma block took the theme Memorabilia Impossible Wardrobe. This show presents memory of time to time by exploring various styles that have been the trend of its time. Indonesian Embassy's Cultural Social Education Minister's Councillor Charles F. explained that all works used a variety of Indonesian wastra as core elements, combined with other fabrics materials such as cotton, linen, and embroidery techniques and applications. The designers, who are third-year students, did and sew by their own hands all the works displayed. These works are the result of interpretation of Indonesian wastra by KOEFIA students from various regions in Italy and from some countries such as Iran, Libya, Peru, Russia, and Switzerland. Various culture collections for winter, such as jackets and overcoat in the 60s or 80s style, look charming with batik cloth accent or weaving. There are also jumpsuits with Megamandung motif batik clothes and clothing covered with batik clothes coated with plastic. The entire collection displayed received exciting welcome from around 400 invitees consisting of fashion industry, journalists, and diplomatic corps. Meanwhile, Indonesian ambassador to Italy, Esti Andayani, in her speech, hopes that through this collaboration, young designers will be inspired to produce cross-cultural works that can encourage mutual understanding for a better world. KOEFIA collaborated with the Indonesian Embassy in Rome for this year's quarter, as well as to commemorate the 70th anniversary of Indonesian-Italian diplomatic relations. Indonesian Embassy in Rome provides a variety of Indonesian wastras to be processed according to the interpretation of the students under the guidance of the lecturers. The process of preparation and workmanship takes around 6 months. The Indonesian Embassy in Rome also gave presentations about Indonesian wastra to provide knowledge for the students. The entire collection will also be exhibited at the Indonesian Embassy in Rome to give opportunities for fashion lovers to recognize more closely the work of fashion students in Rome, Italy, known as City of Fashion. That was Miss Lani for today. Thanks for listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
Tak tahu betapa rapuhnya aku, masih terang. kapan lagi yang baru kau tawarkan ku. Namun kenangan itu ku ingin kau tahu betapa
Voice of Indonesia.
Ku pandang raut wajahmu, ada sesuatu mengganggu. Nampak jelas bahwa kamu selalu menggerutu, menggerutu. Pandang raut wajahmu, ada sesuatu mengganggu. Nampak jelas bahwa kamu selalu menggerutu, menggerutu. Takkan baik bila kamu sudah tak tahan begitu. Tak perlu menunggu waktu untuk kau berlalu, kau berlalu, kau berlalu, kau berlalu.
Tak kenapa, tak kenapa.
was a wonderful song. And you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, next segment, I'd like to give you information about the music. For today's edition, we'll present traditional music.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, in today's edition, we would like to play a regional song from Aceh entitled Bungong Cempa. Cempaka flower is the literal meaning of the song's title. Achenese people prize the flower, and finally, it is immortalized in a song. In the past, jumpa or cempaka flower had grown widely in Aceh, which is also well known as nickname Veranda of Mecca, because cempa is an endemic plant, which is flourish. In fact, cempa is not only more beautiful flower, but also more influential one, because its existence has influenced many aspects in Achenese cultures, beginning from traditional ceremony until carving on building. The flower also gives aesthetic values in Achenese people's tradition. Cempa becomes symbol of the beauty. Pride on Bungong Cempa is shown through various decorations. In Aceh Besar, Songket craftsmen use cempa, which has been already in bloom, as one of motif. Cempa also inspires Utoh, people who build traditional house of Aceh, in interior and exterior aspects of Rumoh Aceh. Generally, under the roof, it is given carving of various typical decoration of Aceh. One of them is Bungong Cempa, which is almost blooming. Listeners, here is Bungong Cempa, which is rearranged and sung by Eka Deli.
Bungong Cempa, Bungong Cempa, megah di Aceh, Bungong Cempa.
Listener, we end our Together Live in English Language program broadcasting. Thank you very much for your attention. We'll give another interesting information. So stay tuned with us at Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voanews.id. And listener, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world, or our Instagram account voice_of_Indonesia. And you can visit our Twitter account at VOI Indonesia or to our email voi@voinews.id.